Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, June 22, 2015, at 3:02 p.m.
Thank you.
We call the Board of Commissioners in order. Will you please stand and join with the flag of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Bill Rohde.
Seconded. Motion to excuse Commissioner Rohde for the meetings today. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Appearing after the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda item. Approval of the previous minute, June 8, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims. Approval of the official reports. Approval of the resolution 15C-024 to increase the over-expended budget at general funds, fund transferred by $46,000. Approved surplus sale writing report reflecting each transaction, the item sold, the name and the address of the purchaser, the price paid by the purchaser in each item, and the total amount paid by the purchaser. Approval of the chair to sign the statement and the understanding between Dakota County and the Comprehensive Strategy for Positive Youth Development Community Planning Team. This is an informal agreement without any binding legal responsibilities for either party. Approval for chair to sign engagement letter with the Wood and Aikens LLP to represent Dakota County regarding any general labor and employment matters that are outside the scope of the NIRMA employment hotline. The payroll claims, the accounts payable claims, and official report, everything seems under normal, so I need a motion to accept the consent agenda item.
So moved.
Second.
Moved. Accept consent agenda item from A to H by Commissioner Law, seconded by McNair. Roll call, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried. New business. Amber Monet, Dakota County Victim Assistance Program Director, to present the 2015-16 BOCA budget proposal for victim assistance for board approval. Amber?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Request for this year's budget has increased because the money that come in from this into the state for the Victims of Crime Act increased. They are potentially receiving $12 million over a three-year time span. So this year, the request is close to $100,000 of VOCA monies. I'm not asking for approval for any county monies, just to approve the VOCA budget. Including that, the match funds, we are asking for a waiver. In order to meet the requirements, you are supposed to come up with a 20% match. And in this account, that would be close to almost $25,000 in match, which is a hardship, I believe, for both the city and county to come up with. So I will be asking for a waiver of that in my grant. It will be up to the Office for Victims of Crime to approve it, but I have to attach it to my grant for it to be considered.
Okay. So
you think the waiver will hurt you?
Will it hurt me?
Yeah, I mean, will it?
I don't think so. No. Because you
I know we talked about this at the LEC.
You can, this year you can ask for that waiver. It's in the instructions for
when you apply for the grant, yes, to ask for the waiver.
Yes.
So what's the board wants to do?
I'll make a motion to approve for the grant for the VOCA deal in the budget.
Okay, you second it?
I'll second it.
move to approve the program victim assistance, the BOCA budget proposal victim system. So, roll call, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Thank you, Carrie. Amber Money requesting approval of the chair to sign letter of Nebraska Commission of the Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice requesting. Wait a minute, I got lost. Amber Money requesting approval of chair to sign letter to Nebraska Commission of Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice requesting a hardship waiver for 2015-2016. We already talked about this, don't we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Sorry.
I'll make a motion for that waiver, that hardship waiver, and for the chair to sign.
Okay. I'll second it. Motion by Fiskane, second by Commissioner Gomez. Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, right?
Thank you.
Under item C, approve to the veteran service agreement between Dixon County to utilize Dakota County veteran service officers to provide services to Dixon County veterans for the period of July 1st, 2015 to June 30, 2016 for compensation of $18,000. I know it was coming, so what's 4 months to go?
Well, Bill isn't here.
No, I don't think so. Probably
that's odd. It's working though, right? I mean, right. Everything's cash flowing out. I know that we kind of put a year ago or 6 months ago, we looked at the situation and we wanted to make sure that it was going to.
And it's working, so.
And they love him and everything seems to be.
I know he's making a couple of trips back and forth to do that, and I think that he was at one of the previous meetings, he said that that was going to be, you know, cut back because he's getting some of their paperwork caught up and able to do more over the phone. So I think it's working well, too. I'll make a motion to approve.
Scott will second it.
Okay. Commissioner Busquet to approve the veteran service and seconded by Commissioner Law. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Sheriff Klamber, County Sheriff and Law Enforcement Co-Director requesting approval to hire Consultant Service LLC without the need to upgrade all the major technology systems used by the process and dispatch 911 calls for a consultant fee of $48,000. Chris.
Okay, this is a contract that I'm going to need you to. It's already approved by the LAC board. So Scott's taking it to the city council tonight. I'm taking it to you folks. Basically, what this is a contract for the advisor or the. What do you call it?
Consultant
to come in and let us know what we can and can't spend the set aside money on, what the grants money can go to, and what equipment we need to upgrade. Jason Gross is the gentleman that did it prior, 20 years ago. He's done all the surrounding counties, knows his stuff, very in with the Crime Commission. And that, let's see, I got full different again. I don't know if you guys got a copy of this. This is actually the set-aside money that we put away for the LEC that we've been doing for quite some time, along with some taxes and some other money. And from my understanding, the $336,142 is what's in CDs, and then the rest of the revenue, it adds up to the $534,760. This contract of $48,000, all that money comes out of the set-aside account. It's not money out of county or city general funds. It's money put aside for what we're doing. So I think you got a copy of the contract. I don't know if you had time to read it or not.
And another thing has to point out that the other consulting firm was almost double the money. Yeah. And like you said, this I call him Stacy, but it's Stason.
Well, whatever. His email says Stason. He says call me Stacy. I don't
know. Okay. But anyways, the nice thing is he was involved 20 years ago or whatever it was, and we met with him once before the LEC board, and he seems like he's a very knowledgeable guy.
He actually for free helped me with the grant this year for the state. Yeah. Helped me fill all that out and ask for a payment. But he's worked for Burke County and all over, so I've talked to them sheriffs. Just a good guy. So we're lucky to get him at this price, especially. Two other vendors we took this to turned it down. Olson Associates didn't want them to do it. He didn't. Anyway.
So, yeah, so the money's there. It's set aside. We get it. We're a little bit, I guess I've heard so many different numbers, but it doesn't matter. We got the $48,000, and we can cover this.
This is the actual one, Scott. I don't know. Joan, did you send this to these guys? The actual consulting contract for this particular deal. So it went down a couple grand from Jim. But it just says, on signing of the contract, 12 grand. I imagine we'll do that at an LEC meeting here in 2 weeks. And then the rest of it's in there. But again, this is money that's already in an account for this particular job.
And I know what the LEC board has, what, up to $5,000. And so here we are, just like you said, Chris is doing his thing with this, or Scott's doing his thing with the city of Knight, and you're doing your thing with us. So I will make a motion to approve for the LEC to hire SCG Consulting for the upgrades on the technology, $48,000. That's my motion.
I'll second it. Motion more by Commissioner Catalog, second by Commissioner Busquet to accept the consulting services. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Under item E on the new business, board to accept or not accept the resignation of the public defender Melinda Wicks, effective July 2nd, 2015. Last day in office will be July 1st, 2015.
Well, Melinda, she's has taken a different job with the county attorney.
Deputy county attorney, I think that's the way her...
Yeah. She already got a job, so I mean... We got no choice.
I make a motion to accept her resignation. And,
okay, second that, yes.
So, motion by Commissioner Busquet and second by Commissioner Locke to accept the resignation from Melinda Wicks as a public defender. It's effective July 1st, 2015. Call roll, please.
Well, never mind. Is Melinda here? Is she in here somewhere?
No.
Okay. I'm going to just wish her luck is all.
Yeah.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay. Here comes the... Board to approve action to fill the vacancy within 45 days. And as the chair, I consult with Commissioner Busquet. We talked to Lowe Hunter. We interview him and talked to him. And seems to me as a qualified person and is capable to do the job Melinda's been doing it. He's been there for 3 years, I think, is what he's...
He's been attorney for 3 years?
3 years.
Right?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Attorney for 3 years.
And he's been here for a year and a half,
two years. Three and a half, right. So he's qualified and he's willing to do the job, so we need to appoint him as...
Lord, do you want to come up?
You're going to come on and tell a little bit about yourself, Lord.
Well, I've been in the office for almost 2 years in October. Got my degree at the University of Nebraska. Graduated in the top quarter of my class with the distinction there. I feel I can handle all the duties and obligations of the public defender's office here. So I would accept any appointment. That's what the board would like to do.
Okay.
Any questions for Lou from you guys?
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry.
Lou just kind of told us.
Sorry, Lou, I was consulting with the county attorney and some of the items we need to go through. Yes.
Was it? Well, he just basically, when you and I talked to him, he just basically told them the rest that, you know, his UNL experience in graduating the top of his class. Yes. So.
Yeah, it's you know, it's, to me, it's a qualified person. He lives in the county, is capable to do it, and since we appoint him, you know, he's got the duties to find his own deputy, which is where I talk about it. And as far as certain end, you need to do that after Melinda leaves. When she leaves, then you need to arrange time to judge to, so you can sort in that time, so we keep informed. And so we need a motion to.
I will make a motion to appoint Lou Hunter as the public defender.
And I will second that.
Until the next election.
Until the next election, which is
2018.
Not soon enough, but yes.
Thank you.
Just kidding. I haven't thrown anything funny out there for a while, have I?
No, you are doing
that. Wasn't that funny.
Motion by Scott Love to appoint Love Hunter to be our public defender, and seconded by Rick Muscat. Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Thank you. Good luck.
Good luck. Thank you.
I got to worry about getting sworn at.
Hey, and the beautiful thing is, you got Deb on your side as well. All right.
There you go.
It's like, hey, don't take this wrong. We like an old shoe. You know what's going on over there. All right. Right.
Right.
All right. Good luck, guys. Thanks.
Hello. Hello. We need to do something in writing to that. Ted's going to do that to appoint you in writing so that you can sign something. Okay.
The board will
do something.
In writing for Ted.
Yeah. So actually, more papers coming on to you.
Okay.
So, simple as that. Thank you. Sarah, that juvenile diversion coordinator asking board approval of resolution 15C-023 for adoption and approval of Dakota County juvenile services. Contract exit plan from July 1st, 2015 to July 30, 2019. The plan is a requirement of the Nebraska Crime Commission in order to receive the grant dollars. Sarah.
Okay. Good afternoon. I was just going to talk a little bit about our priority areas with our comprehensive community plan for Dakota County. Sure. We have three different priorities. One organizational priority, which is related to increasing community awareness of the juvenile services team, which is a team that put this plan together, in order to ensure that we have representation of a variety of diverse community stakeholders. Mm-hmm. We have pretty good participation right now, but it's really the same core group that has not necessarily expanded, and we'd like to expand that to include more community members, more community voices, so we can ensure we're creating a plan that really serves the community's needs. Our second priority is related to reducing the demand and availability of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs for youth. And then our third priority is to ensure that youth have positive development opportunities, and that under that is included the juvenile diversion program. And this year we're also looking at being able to provide or working on a plan to provide some wraparound services to help youth with barriers like transportation, help families with issues related to maybe cultural differences, language barriers, needs for therapy, parenting classes, things like that. And that resolution just really talks about, I don't have it right in front of me and I don't know the exact verbiage of it, but just talks about the Crime Commission's priorities related to these plans and the grant funds that
Well, by the way, on the meeting of the Dakota County Connection, she was there and presented the whole program in general, so I'm aware of it, and I think it's a great program, and we need to support it, so that's all I'm saying.
I know that any diversion programs we have with the juveniles saves the county money, because if we have to house them, they're one unique situation because it's real expensive.
Yes.
I know we've worked with it before.
So we need
to. I'll make a motion to approve for the grant.
Resolution 15C-023.
Yes.
Okay. Second.
I'll second it.
Motion by Commissioner Busquet and seconded by Commissioner Love to approve Resolution 15C-023. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Sir, thank you for
being here.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you. Now, under item H, Lori Warren, President of South Sioux City Chamber of Commerce and CEB, to present 2015-2016 County Visitor Budget for Board Approval and bring the Board up to date in current activities. Lori, your turn.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to highlight a few of our events that we've had going on, and the magazine that I'm handing out to you is where I have it marked with the insert. That is actually the budget and our current income statement. So the reason I put it on that page tucked in there in the business magazine is because it also, that shows you the Dakota County Fair, and we put that ad in our magazine. This is our new magazine that the Chamber has put out. It'll come out quarterly. Business Focus is all about business in the tri-state region, and we'll be sharing, every quarter we'll be sharing different information in the area, but I wanted to bring it because of the Dakota County Fair being in that issue there. We've reached out to Dakota County Fair and are helping them with some of their marketing. We actually helped them create a brochure this year, so it's very professionally done, and I think that having the new person on board, Lisa, has worked really well with communication with us as well. And so she's already been into our office. We've talked a couple of times, and we're trying to help them more with the fair so that it can become better over the next few years too. So I think that's really important. So I just wanted to share that with you. As I'm going to share a couple of other things that we're doing, as you know, we've really worked on the dog shows, and we have a couple of new ads that we just produced. I don't know if you're aware, we just hosted a dog show here in May, and it was the German Shepherd, the police dog that was here. We had 96 of them. They stayed at the Marina Inn. So we went out and took pictures from that event, and then we created a new dog advertisement here through Bass Advertising. We have two different ones that we created here that we're using, and I'll just pass those around so you can see. And again, we're really working on that and creating it because it has such a huge impact for us. They stay, when we do a national show here, they stay at the Marina Inn because, again, they have the facilities that we can use, either indoor arena or an outdoor arena with them. We did the agility tests with them out at the baseball fields. It turned out really well, and it was really fun to go down there and watch them do the agility work. And so as we go forward, we're just going to continue to build off that. With them staying here for a week, as you know, when the St. Bernards were here, that created $1 million income in that 1 week that they stayed here. And this show is a little bit smaller, so it wasn't quite as powerful as an impact, but it still was around $700,000 that was spent in our community during the week that they were here. And we'll continue to do that. We have another one booked for next year. We have one in May of 2016 that's already booked, and then we have others that we're doing bids for right now for 2017, 18, and 19. So it's really important.
So what's the next one that will come next May then? Is that
Yep, we have another one next May, and I think that might be the Sharpays. Not 100% sure if that's the right breed or not, but we have a lot of different breeds that we're working with over the course. So the one we just did, the Malinois that were here, that because a lot of times there'll be dog owners that have more than one breed, we had three different breeds that are checking with us for future shows that came off of that one show because they were here showing other dogs. So I think that's really important too as we go forward. The other thing that we're working on promoting, of course, is the Veterans Memorial Wall, because that is now up and it's getting to be nicer down there as they've concreted some of the driveway and stuff. We just have put a ad on the Sturgis website, because Sturgis is coming up August 3rd through the 9th, and they have a section on their website that says things to do on your way to Sturgis. And so we actually created an ad to put onto that site promoting the Veterans Memorial Wall, because we know a lot of the veterans ride motorcycles, and so we're promoting that as well. So those are a couple of the things.
You can get there all the way. If you come from the South Sioux side, it's all concrete all the way to the wall. Is that correct?
Correct. Now, yes, they've paved the parking lot as you pull in now.
Yeah, gotcha. I've been down there for a while, but I figured that was the case.
Yes, so that's very nice. It's a nice add-in. Yep.
So you come past the ball fields and wrap around that way.
Yep, underneath the train bridge, and it's all concrete there.
Yeah. The road still, you know, is gravel, but when you pull in to go to the wall, that's now concrete. The parking area.
So there's just a little bit of gravel. Once the road comes in, you got to jump on. Okay.
Yes, for it too. So that is one addition that we did in trying to promote that. And then we're also looking, as many of you know, about Crampers Lake, and that is having a soft opening in July that they'll be starting to look at people camping out there. And so for 2016, in the spring of 2016, is when we will start really marketing the Cramper Lake area too, because that'll be 48 campsites that will be out there. And then we will start to see a kickback off of that for the lodging tax, because they would have to pay a lodging tax when they're camping there as well. And so we should start to see an increase in our lodging tax off of that area. And so then that gives us the ability to be able to market that too. So we're looking at
doing
that. They're doing a soft opening in July.
Did they have a little hiccup?
Yeah, they're a little behind. So, but he doesn't want to publicize. That's why we're waiting till spring of next year before we start publicizing it. But again, we'll see an increase in our lodging tax because of that. So then, for the finance side, what I've provided with you is our finances through May 31st. And you can see what we have in our checking account. We have a couple of CDs. And then you'll actually, as you go through, you'll see our profit and loss statement then for the whole year. You'll see May separate, and then you'll see July through May. And then on the second to last page, you'll see our lodging tax in comparable to years past. This whole year, we're up every month but one. The only month we're down is January, and it's only by $100. So when you look over the last couple of years and look at a comparison, we're doing very well. We don't see us having any down months in these next couple of months that we still have collection for this fiscal year. It's been very lucrative with all the activities, all the events. Just to give you a couple highlights, our basketball tournament that we had the first weekend in June, we had 76 teams come in for the weekend. We played 200 basketball games in one weekend. That was up by 8 teams over the year previous. And then we also had the Tour Nebraska car show here at the same time. We had 425 cars. And thanks to our sheriff's department, our police department, they helped us with traffic control as they all pulled into Hy-Vee, to old Walmart parking lot for the lunch, because they're only here 2 hours, and we had 425 cars pull into that lot for that time frame. So that was on top of the basketball tournament. So I had lots of volunteers helping in all of the different directions in the community. And then, of course, last weekend being Cardinal Days was also another big weekend for us. The issue we had with both those events is all our hotels were full. So, again, there was no place to put anyone. And as a matter of fact, our basketball tournament, there was no hotel in all of Siouxland that was available. We had people staying out in Dakota Dunes, and we had people at Winnebagus, because there was no rooms open. So it's a great thing, but it's also kind of disappointing that, you know, we can't get more lodging tax off of it because we're already full. So, again, if somebody wants to add a hotel, we'd love to have them.
For investors, right?
It would. If somebody wants to become an investor and build a hotel, we'll take it. You know, we'd love to have another 3-star or 4-star accommodations here in South Sioux, because during the summer months, all our rooms are full. They really are.
Let's talk to Lance more than me.
Yeah, we've been talking. So it's all good. Everything is very, very well for us. And then on the back side, you'll see the very last page is our proposed budget. So we have the 2014-2015 budget. You'll see where we're at to date. We have done very well as far as income. We are ahead of schedule. We're at 165 for our income through May. Our goal was 152, so you can see we've exceeded it as well. And then our expenses are actually a little bit high compared to what our budget was, but that was because we gave the $25,000 to the Siouxland Freedom Park for it. So then you'll see the proposed for 2015-2016. Not a lot of change. A couple of areas where we adjusted a little bit. Some of those are just based on marketing. Our dog show marketing, we're going to increase that a little bit more because we've heard such positive feedback from people seeing our ads in the dog magazines. And then also on the regional advertising, we've added that or gone up a little bit because we're going to help promote Dakota County with the media campaign that they're going to be doing with South Sioux. And those are kind of the biggest areas probably of change. Otherwise, we haven't changed too much.
Was the Cardinal Festival Day a success?
It was. It was the best so far.
Really?
We had almost 3,000 people at the Friday night event.
Let me tell you something about that event. You know, I provide the morning rides for that day when they had the
Family Fun Zone.
The Family Fun Zone, the movie.
Yes.
They're going to leave that wall up, right?
Yes, it's permanent.
I've never seen so many cars from out of town. I mean, locally here, from out of town. That took me almost an hour and a half to get out of there. The line of cars was from the soccer fields all the way up to McDonald's.
I know we had a baseball game that night. We got down 10, and the cars were just rolling in down there. And then I think I talked to Kelly Flynn this week, and he said something about they wanted to maybe keep that up.
It's permanent. It's a permanent wall.
Yep.
And we're adding a stage to it.
And
so, yes.
And maybe have a movie night once every so often, and maybe some fundraisers for different. I think it'll be it's a neat thing.
If you have not been down there, you should just drive down there just to see the wall because it's pretty amazing. It's 40 by 50 concrete, and it's
huge.
Thick. And Lightform put it up for us, of course. Yeah. And then it'll have a stage on the front, and we've put in electrical next to it so that we can have a band right there, or we can have, you know, whatever entertainment that we choose. And we are talking, they have another meeting this Friday. Anybody can go that's interested is at noon at City Hall to talk about the future of the how to use that. And they are talking about maybe once a month doing a different event, you know, whether it's entertainment on the stage or doing a movie again. They're looking at, but it's possibly as a fundraiser for a different organization as long as it pays for itself. You know, so if they can raise enough money, pay for the movie or whatever it is they're doing, and then whatever's left goes back to that group that wants to do the event. That's pretty
it's
exciting.
Awesome. Very exciting.
Yeah. I didn't make it down there. I had baseball all weekend in Wayne, but
awesome.
I know. Yeah, Rick said it was a good.
I made it down there.
And one comment that I like to make in the health on Michael Sperridge, really thanks for the basketball tournament that you have, and thank you for using the facility. It's a good thing that we had those with not a school days, because St. Michael's make $2,500. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And that's just a perfect example, again, of the community utilizing and being able to do something together, because it has grown, so we did have to add in another facility. So not only did we use middle school, high school, and Cardinal Elementary and St. Mike's this year, so it really is an event that continues to grow, and then again it helps a lot of people, because not only did we give back to St. Mike's, but we give back to the Boy Scouts had a concession stand at the Cardinal one, and then the girls basketball team had the high school one, so they got to keep the money from there. So it really is a fundraiser for a lot of different entities, and they all get something back, and it's very nice. It works well.
Any more questions for Lori?
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Great job, great numbers.
Thank
very
you.
Very great numbers. We just keep moving, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and on behalf of the fair, we're pleased with the way you made it, little pamphlets like for Hy-Vee.
Yes.
That was the greatest thing.
Yeah.
People come in and they picked them up, and that was really nice. So
thank you. Yeah, we did table tents. If you're not familiar, we did table tents and put them out throughout Dakota County. Anyone that would let us, not everybody was so open-armed to it, let us put them on their tables, but any of the restaurants that said yes, we put it on the table. On one side was Cardinal Days, on the other was Dakota County Fair.
Right. It was really
and
nice.
We put them out, so I think that helps too.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, Lori. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good luck.
Do we need to take action? Okay, Justin, I'll make a motion to approve the budget for 2015-2016.
I'll second that.
Moved by Commissioner Busquets, seconded by Commissioner McNair.
Moved by Commissioner Love.
Hello.
I know you mixed up over here a little bit.
Thank you. Moved by Commissioner Love and seconded by Commissioner McNair. Call roll.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Thank you, Rick, for correcting.
This is a great magazine.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
Really good.
How did Renee feel like being on the cover?
From what I talked to her, she loved it.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't
but
she?
It was a little hard at first getting her to do the interview.
I can
once,
see that.
Once
I can see that.
She realized what it was going to be, then she did, and she did
That's
a
awesome.
Great job. So.
That's
thank
awesome.
You,
you, you know that Renee was at the home show this year, and she got first place in a couple of different areas.
For you know, she's the second hardest working person I know among myself.
There you go. He likes the
fact. She is a hard worker. She is a hard worker.
We always say that if you follow Scott Love, you'll ground in his sweat.
Yeah.
Go that far.
We're going to miscellaneous. Fred Keller. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. Road report, June 7th, 20th. 246 total hours of road maintenance. One culvert, 5 hours. Aggregate was 4,558 tons. Section inspections and weed complaints, 8 hours. Weed spraying, 28. Barricading, 3 hours. Two barricades. Grading concerns, road complaints, Nottoway and Ridge Road. Gravel, 260th, Fiddler Creek, F Avenue, 240th, 190th, and Hall Avenue. And I'm sure I missed one or two.
The 1 in 6 projects, we got Omaha Avenue going on right now.
Correct.
And
they've started the patching, and they'll do the overlay hopefully this week.
And then we'll just have to figure out once we get our budget all put together of what other 1 in 6 projects that we want to try to get done by the end of the year.
I think with some of the phone calls that I've received over M Avenue, then that's going out to the new recreation area, that we need to maybe look at trying to get some funds together to hard surface that road going up that hill. So I don't know if that's something we need to talk about, getting it on the 1 in 6.
You know,
see if we can. I think we could probably, for that being a recreation area, maybe try to tap into some grants.
There you go.
Environmental people, they always give money out every year, and I think we need to start looking at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and I've been beating the drum, and our quick solution to, if the weather would stay dry for us with that different type of clay and aggregate that we have, is going to be perfect. You know, like we've talked about this time and time again. You know, Leonard has it going up to the landfill. You know, there's some other counties that use it that I've seen on hills. It's, we just need the right weather. And the phone calls I've received, as I tell people as well, it's just you can't have it rain every other day and put this stuff down. It just won't work. You need dry conditions, so.
We've been trying to do a little catch-up. I haven't quite done it, but we'll get some of our projects started.
I see you hauled a couple different load on M Avenue today. Where'd that come from?
It came from LG Everett's.
Oh, because it did look red on that. It was on that, just on this side of Bill Green's, north of Bill Green's there. I see there's a load dump there. Okay.
They've been running out of Class A, and we've used a little bit of 3/4 clean.
Oh, maybe that's what
that was the difference. So, I mean, I haven't seen it there.
I was on it today.
I'm positive it came out.
Okay.
But I couldn't agree more with Rick, though. I mean, over time, I think that would definitely, you know, if we could pull it off somehow, you know, getting that hard surface out there, I think it would be beneficial for, you know, the campsites and the revenue standpoint of it.
There's a lot of heavy truck traffic on that road. We got Lux Brothers and Tim Stewart, and they're running 90,000-pound trucks up and down that road on a daily basis, hauling hay and
rain or shine.
Rain or shine, and it's going to get to be an issue, or it already is.
Might as well be prepared.
Well, yeah, we've got that rec area out there, and if you want people to go out there and camp and and do their equestrian thing. You got to have a road to it that they can get up and down.
We got to get some of that tiger dirt out there is what we need to get. For starters.
Yes.
Any more questions for Fred?
Probably so, not for me.
Well, update on the Millis Beach area. Fred and I have been working on that. And we have contacted the Burlington. And we have a person that lives in Fort Worth that's from this area. And he has agreed to take the paperwork and do some legwork down there for us.
Sure.
And go directly to the office. And he's a past employee of the Burlington. And he worked out of that office. So we've got a contact that we're going to be working with.
Yeah.
We're just going to get paperwork together and send it to him. He knows the area.
So, that's good news.
Has,
go ahead.
Well, maybe we can talk about this later, I guess. I just didn't know if we've heard anything back from Chad Kurtz in the state, or who sent that into the state. Did you send that into the state?
Chad did,
okay. That'll probably take a while then, I would assume.
I haven't heard anything from either one of them. Okay. I've gone to the superintendent meetings last week, but I didn't hear anything.
Okay, thank you, Fred.
We just need to stay on top of that to get it resolved.
We're gonna work every avenue until someone tells us what we want to hear or not.
Thank you, Rick, for get your time involved in that situation.
Thanks, Fred.
Yes, thank you, Fred.
With that, we want to go on to the commissioner committee reports. Commission committee reports. Anyone have meeting report? They went to the planning and so on, and they talked about the new question arena they're going to build, and they kind of go along with that as long as you comply with all the requirements by the state and by the county. And when they ready to go, it needs to come in front of the county commissioners. And,
do you have an idea where that's going to be proposed to build?
No, I got my notes, but I didn't bring my notes. I'm sorry, Rick, but I can call you and let you know.
All right.
I'm really sorry about that. there was another item that I got. It's too bad that I should get Alzheimer's. I forgot to do my head. There was another item included on the agenda that I don't recall. Maybe.
Our LEC, pretty much Amber,
give us that.
You know, give us, and then Chris's, our consulting. I mean, we pretty much covered the LEC, pretty much what happened at our last meeting. As you can tell, also, Rick and I and Joan and Rick Jensen, we got all of our mulch for outside, so.
Looking good.
It's going to look good. And
looking
I think,
good.
If I'm not mistaken, Sarah, are you going to jump in on this deal with some diversion kits?
I'm working on getting some diversion kits to help wield their own mulch.
Okay, perfect. Is that looking promising, do you think? Because I said to Rick about getting maybe some prisoners, or whatever you're going to call them, or people out of jail, your locals that ain't.
Inmates.
Yes, inmates, thank you. But anyways, and he says, no, he said he was working a deal with you.
Yeah, and I think the other, I was going to give Mike Carlson a call too to see if they had any, because the road cleanup thing went pretty well with the juvenile probationers. As well to see if they had any probation kids who needed some community service, because it really would be pretty easy to, just wheelbarrow it, put it down. It doesn't take a lot of supervision.
Right.
Rick and I, could supervise.
And I can come down as well, and I even told Rick that. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, I would love to come down and work with the kids.
I would donate a skid loader if they need to haul them bags around. For the
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That should look good, though. Yeah, I think he has a lot of plants out. So, yeah, things are... So, Shirley Size, where is she at now? We've got things being beautified. Where is she at now?
She will be here to tell you thank you when you're all done.
You think so?
I know she will be.
All right. I'll bet you a pop.
Any more community reports?
Bet you a pop.
Now I remember I wasn't on the planning and zoning. There was the dairy project that was going to come into town, or was going to come into town, but Arnie was in touch with the guy, and the reason they hauled him to it right now at this point, Rick can tell us more about this.
Dairy prices have slumped down into the teens.
Yeah.
So he's not that he's still going ahead with all his permitting and stuff and getting that all lined up, but
they
probably won't break ground this fall. Probably wait until spring, kind of see how things are going.
Yeah, that's what Ernie told us that day. Sorry, I just happened to remember that. Okay, any more committee reports? If it has any, we go on item number 5 in miscellaneous. Mail and emergency business. We got one here. Discuss an action related to correspondence regarding North Dixon Path, Road Spur. Okay, guys, what are we going to do with this?
Tim,
you want to come up and kind of fill us out?
Would you update us on that situation?
You guys get the handouts?
Yes.
Yeah.
This one today. Was that different than the one?
No, it's just updated, but it's basically the same thing.
Same thing?
Okay.
So, what I've found out so far is, looking at your aerial photos, you might be able to see where the property line is in relationship to the road. The road is actually all east of the actual property line between Masters and O'Neill's or O'Dell's. So, as far as it being a county road, I haven't found any legal evidence that it is in the courthouse. Typically, you got to go back to the old road calendars, which were back from the 1850s. Just, you know, that's where you start. But you'd almost have to go through all the commissioner notes to the actual finding out if there was ever if they ever actually made it a road or not.
Adopted it.
Yes. Then it could take a while to figure that out. But I do have surveys that Wayne Wheeler did back in like 96. I don't know if you got a copy of this, but it's the same line in question, and he shows this as being a county road where Dixon Path is. So, is that important handout, Joan?
Yes.
Okay. And I found some old aerial photos from this 1930 that you can definitely see where it was gravel almost all the way to the river. So that road has been there for over 80, 90 years. So there's the term acquiescence or prescriptive rights that I think you probably possibly fall under.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm not sure, but I believe that road, there was a tree dump or a dump of some sort that was right down there, and I believe that was the way into it at that time. But
as far as where the road is in relationship to the property line is all west of where the actual gravel is at. So
there's a, if he was to put a fence up, he wouldn't be anywhere near the road to put it on his property line.
I don't know if you got the updated map, but at the south line of his property, from the center line of the road to the property line, is about 9.7 feet. So then, and it's about a 10-foot wide path. So from the edge of the fence to the edge of the gravel would be fairly close. And at the north end of the property, of Todd Masters' property, it's about 15 and a half feet from property line to the center line. So it is fairly close.
But it's still passable with a car?
Yes. Yeah. None of it's on the gravel. It's all would be in the, basically the ditch. So what's interesting is on the east side of the lane, there's a fire hydrant and a telephone pedestal, and there's a manhole on the other side, but they're almost right at 33 feet off of the section line. So that's kind of just thinking, well, they're inside of the 33-foot right-of-way. Was it a right-of-way at one time? Mm-hmm. You know, since that's where they're sitting, somebody kind of knew what they were doing when they put the utilities in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as far as legally, I haven't found anything that's actually legally told me that that's a road, except for the survey that Wayne Wheeler did back in the 90s, where he shows a 33-foot right-of-way either side. So,
So what's the board wants to do? I mean, you guys got more knowledge about the property than I do. So what do you think?
Well, we've already, as the county board, we passed to adopt it as a county road.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's a mailbox at the end of it. If Mr. Masters wants to go ahead and put a fence up, I guess that's his prerogative. He's not going to be able to put it up in the middle of the road or close the road.
Right.
The way I understood, they didn't have an issue as long as we wasn't going to take the 66-foot right away. That's the last that I...
That's
to my recollection.
Kind of what I heard also.
You know. So like Rick said, I think it's a done deal that we've adopted the road. It's just a matter of what easement and where he can put his fence at. Is that right?
That's the way I take it.
Do you see anything different in this conversation, Joan, or is that it?
Where was the manhole and the hydrant? Was it on the east or the west?
East.
It's on the east side. The hydrant is on the east side.
Fence that in.
Huh?
Okay.
No, he would be fencing like 60 feet away from his property if he was to fence on the other side of the road. On the east side.
He'd
have to cross the road to fence over by the hydrant.
Okay.
He would basically landlock him, or he wouldn't be able to use that road then if he put a fence up, because he would actually be on private property.
Right. John and Odell owns that property. And John Odell's been using that road. I bet his house has been back there for how long?
I have 15 years? I have a survey to John Odell's place that shows that as a 66-foot road right-of-way. But like Tim said, that doesn't mean that it was. And I have a survey, you know, surveys, a plat of surveys before that, back in the 70s, that shows those specific lots with a 33-foot right-of-way easement. But until you read through every commissioner book,
from
the
1850s?
You just can't. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Unless somebody wants to do a college research project.
Surely science.
So,
if you're willing to call it a county road, but not a 66 foot, then do you want to correspond back to him?
Well, we have to correspond back, don't we? I mean, within the time frame of the last letter that we received.
Tim, what do you advise?
Well, not being a land surveyor, I can advise on those surveys. Are you just speaking on the letter?
Yes.
I thought that Jeff had responded.
See, I thought he had too.
No.
I think he responded to us.
So when he said no response, I was a little surprised.
He never heard.
He never responded.
I remember seeing the letter.
So what's the four ones, please? What do you want to do?
I would advise, or I would have Kim draft a letter, because she's county legal counsel for us, and respond to it. You know, I hate to downsize a road, but then if he'll, you know, if 30, was that a big enough area to, if someday we have to pave it for traffic to pass and stuff, I would believe it would be if it was downsized.
You might have to get a variance first. That's that narrow.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if South Sioux's planning and zoning has a code, if he can put his fence that close to a road also. Since the road is established, was it 9 feet you said, Tim? That one that closes the place?
Yeah, but that's the center line. It's about a 10-foot wide, so you're at about four foot from fence to edge and gravel at the south, and it gets a little wider as you go north. But
there might be a zoning law, too, with South Sioux. Since it's
South Sioux
jurisdiction, that he can't even put a fence that close. We can't take his property, but he can't put a fence up either that close to a road. I don't know what South Sioux's zoning regulations are.
Yeah, I don't know either. But all I do know is that Terry Muff has contacted me, and he's very concerned about losing access to his property, which that road has been access to his property for since the 1850s. You know,
yeah. Like I said, there's a 1930 photo that clearly shows a road. They got copies of them.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. In their last packet, they did.
So, I mean, there's been a road there for a long time.
And his deed does say subject to easement, so maybe it could be until we find evidence of a road.
Todd Masters' deed says subject to easements. Kim, what does that mean that we can, that he can't close anything off because he's already granted easements there?
I have not researched this issue, so I don't know.
So, is our next move to have you research it and put it on?
I would need a land surveyor to decipher some of this because this is not a legal term. This is land survey term. So.
Tim's expert in that.
You know, if I could just find proof that it was ever dedicated,
that's the
66-foot right away, it'd be
done deal.
From what we've researched, we haven't found that yet. Without going through, like Joan was saying, all the commissioner notes from who knows when till present, that's probably the only way you're going to find it.
I know Joan was saying that some of the commissioner's notes were done in cursive, and they're real hard to read.
They're tough, yeah. I mean, once you get into the 30s, they get a lot easier, but pre-1930, it's
pretty hard.
Can be tough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can read it, but some of them are tough, too. But trying to find it could take, and you might not find it.
Mm-hmm. You might do all the work and never was there.
Right.
I thought of coming at it from the angle when I tried to go back to Muffs. And I found when Muffs bought it in 1946, I think, and I thought, maybe go back and look at those minutes, you know, did they request a road at that time? But it was before them. I mean, there was a road there in the 1930s. They probably didn't.
Where do you find minutes from 1940-something downstairs?
It's in the Register of Deeds office, in their vault. It's the very first board minutes from the 1850s are back there, and it's interesting.
I bet it is.
It is. So what we're going to do, guys? What do you suggest, Rick?
It's a tough one. I hate to see that road narrowed. And to accept that, you know, that he'd be good with that, a narrow road through there. I think we... I don't really want to make the call on it, but I would say that we need to correspond back to him and say that we want to leave it as a 66-foot right-of-way and let him go from there.
Send him a letter, though.
Have Kim send him a letter and say that we don't want to downsize the right of way through there. And if he wants to hire an attorney to battle it, and
I believe he already has.
Yeah, he already has. He's got Tramner for an attorney. And but I don't. You know, you've got John O'Dell has got access off that road, and John owns property along it, and we could buy property from John and move the road over to have access over there, but there goes another expense for the county. And we've already got an existing road, and we've got fire hydrants and stuff on the east side of the road, which would have to be moved if we did buy property from John to make that road over there. But
should we check with the city first before we act on anything here?
With the planning and zoning, yeah. See if they find anything.
What do you think, Fred?
If they have utilities in there, then they've got to have an easement for them existing utilities in there, right. Water, whatever utilities are in there.
I would just like to have this, you know, in the right proper way, just go away off the agenda week after week.
Uh-huh.
And I know that they said that, you know, the right-of-way was an issue, but maybe we should check with the city first and see, you know, what the regulations are with, you know, with all the utilities being out there.
I know from past experience on utilities that there is in some instances things that are done without checking, because I came home one night and I had water lines and cable television and everything plowed in the middle of my yard. Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what's, if there's anything in, although there is one manhole right by the northwest corner of Todd's property, and I wasn't able to get the manhole open. I'm not sure what that manhole is, but
that has got to be sewer, because all those trailers that were out there at one time, they were on the electric and water and sewer. And remember, they had the big issue over the water bill.
Right.
South Sioux ran water out to that trailer.
Right. And there was one meter, and Barney Glass was the one that had the water, huge water bill.
Yep. Maybe we need to check with the plane that's on itself.
I think we need to do some more research.
Yeah.
Fine.
So we don't get in the middle.
Have Fred contact planning and zoning people to find out what their regs are on fences and such. And then bring it back to the board again.
So we just...
Fair enough.
For the next thing, what we're going to do there.
Yeah, it'd be good. You got to. Well, we got to see what their planning and zoning is up there.
Your action is to do more research.
More research,
right?
Yeah, that's what I would say. I'll make motion to do more research and to put it on the next agenda and discuss what we find out there.
We'll get with the Cedar's House to see if that and find out more about this. Okay, we need a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, more of by Commissioner Busquet to do more research on this situation, and seconded by McNair. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Wait for the main guy.
Here's something that we've got coming up in July. Tire recycling. If anybody's got used tires and they don't want to throw them in the county road ditches, this is the place to take them. Blake, would you put that in safe?
Right.
I mean, this is from
1930,
and it's almost
like I used to
maintain
it, so I knew that.
Yes.
I don't gravel on it, too.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you.
I guess, is there anything else you'd like me to do as far as the survey part of it?
I don't know what I asked him.
Have you put pins and flags out there showing his line?
There's paint. There's a circle with paint at the south end, and there's a flag at the north end, and there's a... He must have put in a huge post up there now. And you can't miss it. It's about this big.
So, oh, yeah.
You know.
But the pin is there. I mean,
could his property line actually be the center line of the road? I mean, if he had a 33-foot easement,
you know,
it's just not coming.
What's ironic about this whole thing is that Todd Masters went in there on when this Barney Glass had his trailers, and the city of South Sioux had him clean all that up and went in there and had him clean up. Then he had a bill for that, and I think between Marty Johnson and Todd, they acquired that ground for the cleanup fee. Is that right?
That's what I heard.
So their deed says $1,000.
Right. So that's what they did. Yeah. Todd went in there and Marty went in there and they cleaned this up and acquired this land. So he's only owned this land for, what, 6-7 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And the city of South Sioux has got to be right in the middle of this thing, because they're the ones that put the utility lines in out there.
December of 2010.
So they put the utility lines in. They deeded the property over to him for $1, so I would think that South Sioux needs to be brought into this deal. Mm-hmm. There, it's in their zoning jurisdiction, and I think South Sioux needs to be brought into this deal. So we need to get a hold of their zoning administration, Kent Zimmerman, get him down here, and we need to bring them into the boil.
I think yeah.
And if we need a motion to that, I'll.
We already made a motion in the second.
To do more research, but I think we need. I think in that research, I think South Sioux needs to be brought into this deal.
Brett's going to talk to somebody, right?
Brett's going to talk to somebody. Yeah,
you're going to talk.
Yes, I'll talk to them.
But I think they play an important part in this because they're the ones that deeded it over to Todd for a dollar.
Right.
How come I can't buy land for a dollar?
Well, Rick can Fritz do the research on that, and we call Ken Zimmerman and see if he's willing to come on our next meeting.
Well, I think Lance Hedquist needs to be brought in on it, too, because he's the city administrator, right. And he's the one that does all the deals with all the contractors that do stuff for the city and the city council, maybe even the mayor, and tell them what we've got going on. And it's in their zoning jurisdiction, and, you know, they're the ones that lay out, you got to put a sidewalk here, you got to, you know, you can't put your fence here, you can't have a sign that's over a certain size. So I think they need to be brought in.
Good deal.
So how are we going to handle this? Who's going to be in charge to get in touch with those guys?
Well, Fred can.
Can you contact him and let him know what we talk about in our meeting?
Yeah, when I talk to Ken, I'll ask him if he would like to come to a meeting.
Yeah.
As far as Lance or anybody in the mayor, that might be better to come.
Well, I think Lance would be better than that.
I might slide down to the meeting today.
Yeah, you guys.
Visit with him after the meeting.
Yeah, there you go. Visit him down a little bit.
You can make it back next time. The next meeting, too. That'd be nice. Yep. I think you'd be here.
Very good.
Okay,
sounds
thank
good.
You.
Well, hey, Tim, if this is on the next agenda and what have you, Joan can contact you, so if we need you here,
right? Okay.
I think you have to come all the way down just to.
Thank you for coming.
Just because.
Yeah.
What you want to
know. Okay. Now, we've on the public comment. Anybody from the public has anything to say or concerns or anything, come from the podium.
So, Larry, come on down. Are you getting up here?
I'm here.
Huh?
Dixon Pat.
Can you state your name for the record, Larry?
Larry Obedish.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Different path. The fence business would be an issue to me for snowmobile serious. So we can go quite close to the road. And I guess I wouldn't want to see it for the operator. The fence is probably to pull down from wind or snow or pushed over. And in a rural area like that where the wind can blow up and drift pretty bad, wondered. Chimney and fall out of snow. And on my assumption, at least, the county would be maintaining the road.
That's a fair
statement. You're right.
Yeah.
You are right.
I'd be kind of concerned with the best thing where it's close.
Well, usually they keep the fence far enough away, too, just for the liability, so no one, a car happens to go off the road a little bit slick, they don't run right into the fence. That's usually why the regulations are there, keep them so far away from the road.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a fence right next to the road. And also for maintenance.
We've got an issue with our own fence itself, falling down from the way it's fell as a mountain, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to something.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know where Todd has planted this new post. But I would think that would be a liability. I don't know if it's a liability for the county, if it's in the county right away. Because I know that if you put a mailbox up, it's got to be a breakaway. And if you put a telephone pole in there, it is not going to break away.
If people don't understand that when they put in these big multi-$1,000 worth of mailboxes, you know, out there right along the road, and technically we're not responsible. You know, hang on a second here. We are responsible.
Right. Yes.
If somebody, but if a maintainer hits it, what do they usually?
You know, if a maintainer hits a regular mailbox, it's $50.
Exactly.
We'll take care of it. But when you get a $1,000-$1,500 mailbox, you know, that gets kind of steep.
Yeah.
And MACO, they tell us not to, because that's kind of an issue. you know, it's a statute. I think you got to have a breakaway mail post.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your comment, Larry. Anybody else from the public? If it isn't, meeting adjourned.
Don't forget the tire scrap thing, huh? Right. That's exciting. That's exciting.
But he wasn't here, guys.
Oh, was it? Was it?
Oh, he told us already.